This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Flint's drinking water crisis has brought attention to the pipelines, many of them aging, that carry water in the United States. Mei Wu, a staff attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council's health program, says that more should be done to make sure that other people are not drinking water contaminated with lead. Her entry in the NRDC's Switchboard blog is called "Robbing Peter to Pay Paul Won't Stop Future Drinking Water Disasters." Mei Wu, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You start this post by noting that in Washington, D.C., you had water tested for lead and actually bought a water filter. Can you explain why? Why did you do that?
Well, Washington, D.C. actually had a similar type of lead and drinking water crisis that Flint is seeing about 10 years ago. And Washington, D.C. is one of the cities where there are lead service lines that connect the water mains running under the street to people's homes. And anytime you have lead service lines, you have the possibility of getting lead into the tap water. And I, you know, have small kids at home, and lead in drinking water is a big concern for especially young children. And so I wanted to make sure that if we had any lead problem in our house, that I had at least a filter on the water to get as much of that lead out as I could.
But you're an attorney involved in environmental issues, so you're someone who's very aware of these things. I'm wondering if there are a lot of people out there who are just not thinking about it, and it doesn't cross their mind that, hey, maybe I should have the water tested, maybe I should have a filter put on.
Yeah, I think that's right. There are millions of miles of lead service lines around the country. It's mostly in older cities that have drinking water pipes in place that have been there for, say, 60, 70, 80 years. And there are things that they can add to the water that the drinking water utility adds to the water to try to create a protective coating so that that lead doesn't leach out of the pipes. But there are a lot of things that could cause that coating to dislodge, cause little spikes of lead. And so people, especially those who live in older homes and in older cities, should and have young children at home, should be thinking about getting that tested for lead and then looking to see if a water filter is something that they should put on.
Is there any real good idea out there of how big a problem this is nationwide right now? Do we have any solid numbers or percentages, anything like that, on the number of people who are or at least could be drinking water contaminated with lead?
That is one of the difficulties, is that there aren't, because these pipes are so old and have been underground for so long, we don't have really good inventory of where all of the lead service lines are. So there's some very, very rough estimates, but nothing that I would call, you know, accurate at all about how many people. But again, you know, you could take a guess at, with, you know, millions of miles of these pipes, that there are, you know, tens of millions of people, if not more, who should at least be more vigilant about checking their water.
So the White House has put forward a proposal that you say falls short. What's the problem with what the White House is proposing to try and at least get at some of the problem of lead in drinking water and some of the aging infrastructure out there?
Yeah, so there are two programs that the federal government runs. They're called State Revolving Funds, SRFs. And there are two kinds. There are drinking water SRFs, and there are clean water SRFs. And what this fund is meant to do is that it's loans that water utilities and cities can get to improve their drinking water infrastructure or their treatment plants, things like that. And then they just repay it. It's usually low or no interest loans. The problem is that what the president did in his budget is that while he increased the amount of funding that he thought should go into the drinking water SRF, he decreased by a huge amount how much would go into the clean water SRF. And the clean water SRF addresses improvements that can be made to keep pollutants out of the water in the first place. So keeping our rivers and lakes and streams that are the sources of drinking water, keeping them clean. And so by putting money into the drinking water SRF, that was a great first step, but then taking away so much from the clean water SRF, he's really just kind of moving some pieces around in a way that's not overall improving the funds that we have to go to cleaning up our water. And the amount that's in these SRFs is pennies compared to how much need we actually have. One of the most recent estimates I saw is that we need about $1 trillion over the next 20 years to do these upgrades. And I believe that the president's budget was about less than $2 billion, would it be, going to the SRF. So it's significantly lower than how much we actually need to replace all the pipes.
Michigan's two U.S. Senators, Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters, have proposed some immediate assistance, providing money to Flint to get the lead pipes out of the ground and out of the drinking water system. Do we need something like that for cities across the nation, not just Flint?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What those senators have done is actually set aside the money directly going to Flint, where the problem is, and what the, you know, all the money going to the SRF that I was just talking about may trickle down to Michigan, which may trickle down to Flint, but there's no guarantee that it would actually get to Flint. And I think that there ought to be a lot more targeted funding to help cities that have lead service line problems present in their drinking water infrastructure to help them get those lead pipes out. Because in the end, you can treat the water as much as you want to try to protect people from it, but the way to prevent lead contamination is to get the lead out.
I want to go back to that for just a moment, because one of the big problems in Flint was that there was not this corrosion control to account for the lead pipes that the water was going through. But you're saying that even beyond that, that corrosion control is not necessarily a guarantee that there won't be some lead contamination.
Right. So the corrosion control is a good step to try to, like I said, create that coating that holds the lead in place and keeps it in the pipes as the water is going through. But there are things where you could disturb that coating, such as doing construction on a street or replacing like a water main, or even changes in pressure of the water that could dislodge some of that coating. So even with the best, most optimal corrosion control program in place, there are going to be situations where that is not going to 100% protect you from the lead.
So if there was going to be a big comprehensive plan to ensure that nobody ever drinks lead-contaminated water in the United States again, what should it look like in the opinion of May Wu?
Well, that would be a very big and very extensive program, I admit. But, you know, it's really as simple as moving as quickly as we can to replace lead service lines, get them out. And also, you know, people's homes, a lot of the fixtures or even the pipes within their homes may have lead in them, or like the solder contains lead. So it would also be a matter of making sure that within the home that there are fixtures and pipes that don't contain lead. So it's a major undertaking, but with everything that we know about the impacts of lead, especially on developing brains, I think it's critical to all the future generations that we do everything we can to keep it out of the water.
You say it would be expensive. Could you hazard to put a price tag on what it would cost to move in that direction and get all the lead pipes out of the ground?
Yeah, I believe in 2013 that the American Society of Civil Engineers, I think they put an estimate around $1 trillion, with a T, dollars over, say, 10 or 20 years to do that replacement. So it's a lot.
It is a lot. And 10 to 20 years is not an insignificant amount of time. Do we have a good way of prioritizing and saying that perhaps these are the places we should go first because there's a greater risk? Or is it not something we can do in that way? It's all a matter of, you know, when construction can be done, et cetera.
That's a great question. There's probably a good way to prioritize maybe the communities that may be at greatest risk, where maybe there are higher concentrations of lead service lines or some other reason why you would want to prioritize a certain community. But it's also going to be, you know, every city, what their capital investment plans are for, you know, when are they going to dig up roads and redo those, and then they have access to the pipes. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that would go into figuring out the best program for that.
Is the larger issue that maybe you're writing about and that we're talking about here what the American public wants and how soon they want it, what it costs, and what people are willing to pay?
Yeah, and I think one of the big problems with drinking water infrastructure is that it's one of those things that's out of sight, out of mind. These pipes run under the ground, and you're not really thinking about all of the things that go into making sure that when you turn on your tap, out comes, you know, clean, safe drinking water. And so it takes, this kind of crisis for people to recognize it. But I think once people do start recognizing and prioritizing the importance of upgrading this infrastructure, that they will start thinking about, you know, how are we going to get the funds that we need to make these changes happen.
Mei Wu, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Mei Wu is a staff attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council's health program. Her post on the NRDC's Switchboard blog is called Robbing Peter to Pay Paul Won't Stop Future Drinking Water Disasters. You can find a link at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.